Now, for the new people, the reason that I want you to clap your hands and get excited about being able to give to God is because when I was growing up, we didn't do that. Matter of fact, my dad was a pastor since 1970, and they were a little bit afraid because that's how they were trained. They was a little bit afraid to say anything about finances in church because so many people thought that there was manipulation and people trying to get finances from you. When I finally figured out in college, when I started studying the Word of God about finances, that He's actually trying to get it to you. He wants you to be blessed, and He wants you to be able to pay your light bill and, you know, being able to enjoy life. If you ever study the Word, look at me, everybody. If you ever study the Word of God, you'll find out that God wants you to enjoy life. And you can enjoy life without money, but I'm just here to tell you, look at me, it's better with it. Because that's the economy that God set up. And I don't take a salary, Jamie and I, as you look on your offering envelope, we only operate by love offerings. So if I make you mad, I ain't giving to that preacher. And you can. But what it does is it helps us understand that God's the provider. Amen? And when He's the provider, then man, He's sufficient. He's more than enough. So all you got to do is get into His system. Well, what is His system? It's sowing and reaping. And I looked in Isaiah, and I wanted to show y'all a scripture in Isaiah chapter 26. And let me read it to you out of the Amplified, verse 7. The way of the consistently righteous. Amen. I underlined that word consistently. Those living in moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relationship of their lives. Those are the ones that are just and righteous. I mean, you know, God made you righteous, right? But how many of you know the devil then tries to tell you you're not because you're not perfect. And you did things that maybe you regretted yesterday, this morning. Well, here's the great news about our God. Is He's so awesome that His mercy is new every single morning. Amen. Boy, I need that in my life. But the key that I want you to see here in this one word called consistently. Because there's something about being consistent in your giving to the Lord. Not just, you know, like going to Las Vegas. You know, I go there and minister at the Mandalay Bay every year, you know, during the national finals. And, you know, boy, they're just, it's a gamble. Oh, I hope it works. But with God, man, that consistency always works. And it's when you start understanding that really tithing is a lifestyle. It's not just, well, I'll give a little bit. No, man, it's a lifestyle to a believer because that's the economy. That's the principles that we get into. And we operate in. But if you're not in them, they won't work for you. Okay? So finally, one day in college, I had, you know, some finances. And I said, and, you know, I wasn't that faithful. This is a long time ago at tithing. And finally, I said, you know what, Father? I'm trusting You. I trust You. I trust You. And I gave that tithe. And I know I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough to pay all the bills. And here I'm giving 10% of this. But that one day changed my life because I said, sir, I'm just going to trust You no matter what. And I gave it and I didn't look back. And from that moment on, I've never had a financial shortfall in our ministry ever. It's gotten better, but I had to live in that way, those principles. And so that's what happens when you give to the Lord. Don't have this mentality that God's just trying to get your money. Well, you work so hard for it. Well, you do, but Get into his principle and he'll start causing it to just flow in your life in Jesus' name. So in this bucket and in that bucket, why don't you come give with a big old shout of praise, and then we have something special that we're going to do. Come on, give him praise. He's worthy.
I need to get the words out of here.
Is this? Send your glory down. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that a blessing that these kids really are getting trained to give? Amen? They started doing that 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. And but again, it just teaches them. Amen. It's an honor. We want to do something very special. And so I want to call on a great friend of ours and member of this church, Mike McCloskey, would you come and tell them about this awesome presentation that we're about to witness?
Thank you very much, Pastor Corey. Let's begin asking that we post the colors, please. Would everybody please stand and remove your hat? Now would everyone join in singing of the national anthem?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land
Thanks, Joni. We appreciate that. Everyone in this church stands for the national anthem, and now
Amen.
We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Liberty and justice for all. And now the pledge to the Texas flag. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. Thank you very much. Everyone can be seated. By the way, Corey was in Billings, Montana Thursday, and he made his way back, and so we're very glad he's back. Hi, my name is Mike McCloskey. I'm honored to have just been reelected to serve for a third term on the State Republican Executive Committee, and I'm a very proud member of this church. I don't know where John is. John had mentioned to me during the rodeo we were out working the radio one night, and he goes, you know, the church doesn't even have flags. You know, and I hadn't really thought about that, but before those were sitting there, we didn't have flags. And fortunately, that's something I know just what to do about. So I contacted the chief of staff of our congressman and our state representative, Terry Wilson. I was actually texting while working the strip and shoot gate. You can do that. And we started this thing rolling. And when I was in Washington, D.C. on my last trip a few weeks ago, I actually met with staff up there, and we made arrangements for this. And I'm very pleased that we're able to make these presentations today. The United States flag that you see, I'll tell you what, I will read the, there's a certificate that goes with that. United States flag. Certificate of Special Congressional Recognition presented to Williamson County Cowboy Church. This flag was flown over the United States Capitol in your honor, God bless, May 17, 2018, signed by Congressman John R. Carter, District 31, Texas. Sorry about that. Now drop that. Now, this is from the state of Texas. This flag, our Texas flag, the state of Texas House of Representatives, this certifies that the Texas flag herewith presented to Williamson County Cowboy Church by Representative Terry M. Wilson, who's the state representative for this district, was flown at the Capitol of the sovereign state of Texas in honor of their service, in witness thereof, and pursuant to the authority vested in me, I have hereunto set my hand and seal the office at Austin, Texas, this 12th day of June, 2018, signed Terry M. Wilson. Pastor Corey, I'd like to present these certificates to you. So now, from now on, this church has flags that have flown over the United States Capitol and the Texas Capitol.
God bless you. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Would y'all thank Mike? Tell him how much we appreciate it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you don't understand. That's pretty awesome. I don't know very many churches that get a flag, two flags that have been flown over the capitals in our country, and we call it an honor. Thank you, Mike, very, very much, and all you guys that are a part of it, and thank you to veterans that came down and amen, served our country. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much. Jamie, could I give these to you? I don't want them to fall. Amen. We'll put that in the vault, wherever that might be. Amen. Would you, with the same enthusiasm, would you clap your hands as we dismiss our children and our youth group? Come on, y'all. All our youth, would you go on out and just have a blast having fun and with your age people? Look at them go. Bye. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to keep you very long this morning. I just heard people laugh. Yeah, right. It was on this side or two. But it's the truth. Maybe. I think it's very fitting this morning that God orchestrated this message a while back, and I think it's fitting that we talk about a word called loyalty. I think sometimes in church, we feel like that we have to dig into things that we don't know about the Word of God, and we feel like that, you know, that's the only way we can get fed, is if we have some new revelation, when all reality, and this, I'm speaking from my heart, just as a cowboy, you have to understand that There's a time when you got to go back to the basics. And any time I start seeing things that I'm watching that is happening in our church, I'm never speaking against flesh and blood. I'm usually having to deal with a spirit. And when a spirit starts confusing and making people feel like they don't get fed at a church, man, you want to talk about putting some pressure on a church. And I thought, wow, how fitting is it when we talk about loyalty, because at a rodeo, you don't have to ask a Western cowboy or cowgirl to stand for the national anthem. You don't have to, I mean, and we did it at six, right, Ricky? Six or seven, six perfs at the college national finals, and there was not anybody that was kneeling or sitting during the national anthem. So I thank God for our president that has just made it a bigger deal about the loyalty we have for our country, and that's what we just did. Because that loyalty is very important. That's why we pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And the great thing about this country as of now, and don't let it change, y'all, that it's under God. So let's talk about loyalty. The true definition about God is loyalty. The Bible tells us that even if we're not faithful, He's faithful. Amen. I need His faithfulness in my life. It's very hurtful a lot of times when pastors have to go through different things that happen in church. And most of the time, no one even knows about it. And not to say anything has happened, because it hasn't. But a lot of times when I leave and head out for the summer, then that's a great opportunity when the leader's gone for the enemy to begin to attack. And so I think it's fitting today, especially with this presentation, that we talk about loyalty. Because again, God always remains loyal. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Say amen when you get there. Hebrews chapter 13, towards the end of your Bible, you go to James, just back up. And let's go to 13 of Hebrews, verse 5 in the King James. It says, "Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you." Are you seeing it? "And I will never forsake you." There comes a time in that, in the offering message, that word consistently is so important to me, because being consistent in the kingdom of God is really something that we need to strive towards. Church hopping is not a very good thing. I mean, I think you need to find a place. And if it's not here, you gotta honor God and obey Him and just find out where you're called. But then where you're called, plug in, dig in, be consistent, because the loyalty that God has for us is that He will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. He's always there. Thank God. Because us ministers that minister up here, by the way, next week, Ricky's going to be ministering the Word of God. So come prepared to receive from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Because our job as ministers that stand behind this pulpit, man, it's a great honor. And we want to deliver what God has placed in our hearts. But yet, there comes a time when we need to go back to the basics and begin. You know, as a cowboy, there's times when you rodeo out there that you've got to just calm down and start going back to the basics of your swing. Keeping that loop going around your head so it don't hit your head. So the loop doesn't, what we call figure eight, the loop has to stay open in order to catch whatever you're trying to catch. As a kid, it was my friends and my mom and dad and the dog, you know, whatever I could rope. Matter of fact, as the older we got, we'd be at the ranch, and if you spotlight at night a rabbit, it might come straight towards you and you could rope it. Oh, we pet it and all that fun stuff, maybe. But, I mean, you could rope. We roped everything. But the point is having that swing and that basic of coming around and delivering it to a target. And if you don't know the basics, then it's going to be harder to learn. One of the very basic things about serving God is loyalty. And again, even if a believer fails, God will remain loyal. Again, what does the word say here? He will never, say it with me, leave us or forsake us. In other words, he's not going to just send you out into the world and then just say, all right, devil, go get them. You know, he's going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Now, understand one thing, that the devil is always going to be able to steal, kill, and destroy. But you do not have to let him. Man, you can tap into, you know, his principles of just counting it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I mean, God has given us such an awesome, you know, way of escaping things because of what? Jesus. And when Jesus died, man, thank you that he gave us those keys. He gave us his name. At his name, every demon has to flee. At his name, every knee will bow one day on earth and in heaven, under the earth, and he's going to be called Lord. You see, loyalty is an important part. Now, I want you to, as we start talking about loyalty, because again, I'm honored to be loyal to the United States of America. Now listen, I'm not loyal to Mexico. Why? Well, it's not my country. Love it. Love Mexican food. Amen. No, I didn't say Mexican people, right? No, we love the Mexican, but I'm not loyal to the country of Mexico, right? No savvy. I mean, I don't understand. Where's Jay? Oh, hi, Jay. Stand up, Jay. Everybody know Jay is from Brazil, right? Okay. No, stay up. But when he starts speaking Portuguese, I know one word. Yes, it's called sim. That's what I learned. That's a sim. But he knows Spanish really good. Yeah, and he knows English pretty good. Yeah, right? But I'm not loyal to Brazil. Why? Well, because I don't make my residence there. You know what I'm loyal to? God first. And then I'm loyal to, as I live here, the United States of America, you see. Okay. But we've got to get a hold of loyalty even in the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. If God tells you to do something, and what happens in this church a lot of times is people will come here. Oh, man, God has sent them here for a season. They'll get healed. And then they'll go out so they can go and minister. But what I want us all to get into our minds is when that happens, make sure that you're ready to go serve and not necessarily thinking of self, see. Okay, so let's turn over and just allow the Lord to minister to us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 35, and we'll read on down to 39, because again, We're talking about loyalty. And by the way, it's primarily how God is so loyal to us, but how we need to be loyal to Him. That's what this message really is all about. So let's look at verse 35 in Romans chapter 8. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it's written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I like this next word because it says nay, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. So at one moment, they're talking about being sheep, going in for the slaughter, being attacked, persecuted, and all those things. And someone finally, being the writer of this book, begins to declare, no, I'm not going to fall into that. Because my God is more than a conqueror, because He loves me, see. What He began to do is He began to speak the word of God. He began to declare things like verse 38, for I'm persuaded. And I'm telling you, church, you need to be persuaded about God's love for you. Don't put so much pressure on the church where everything has to be perfect or you're gone. Because what it says is that us ministers up here aren't adequately preaching the word of God, you see. And as a pastor, I start fighting. I'm going to fight for my flock. Amen. I'm not going to allow the devil to come in here and start causing people to get, confused and those kind of things. And not understand that there's something about being persuaded about God's love for you. God's not against you. By the way, this church is definitely not against you. Say amen to that. Amen. All of us ministers that minister here, man, we love you. We spend hours and hours and hours praying for this flock. I think, though, that in this time, especially since Jesus is about to return, the confusion, then the attacks and the disloyalty a lot of times tries to rear its head in any church where we just need to tend to it and start pledging allegiance to our God and letting the devil know that he doesn't have time or place to be messing with this child of God. Amen. And I'm talking about you individually. So he's here, the word's saying, you need to be persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Say amen to that. Because I'm telling you, the attack on people today, it's like we've never seen. You go out there in the field, man, and you see some things. We get to minister. I baptized two barrel racers and a little sister in cold water at the college national finals. Woo! It was cold. But I didn't have to get into the trough. I got to stay outside it. And thank God for a smaller trough where you can just dunk. But man, it was cold. And they came up and couldn't breathe. I just loved it. And if they hadn't have been girls, I'd have dunked them again. Just for fun. But man, how brave it was for three girls to want to be baptized in a trough. In Casper, Wyoming, how cold? It wasn't very, how cold was it? Is it in the 50s that morning? 60s? That takes someone that, man, understands the loyalty of God. That just taking that step of faith that after baptism, there's something about honoring God with that, after salvation, honoring God with baptism. The death of the old you, the burial, and then the resurrection. There's a lot of people that don't ever get baptized. And if you're one of those, you need to. The good news is we have warm water here. But we do it in that trough back there. We're cowboy. But man, what about that loyalty of Jesus being baptized? And then we're supposed to be like him. You know, you see. God, Jesus. Man, I want you to get a hold of this so much that nothing can sway you from hearing from God. Nothing can cause you to be offended. Nothing can cause you to leave somewhere where you once were fed. Then all of a sudden, we're not fed anymore. Man, don't let that happen. Man, I will start fighting for you as the flock. Man, no. Loyalty, see. So I want to give you three lessons and then we'll quit. About the lessons about loyalty. Number one, don't just mouth loyalty. Because loyalty has to be your character. In other words, people make wedding vows just to divorce in the end. But what about loyalty? I mean, you're just not mouthing your... When you stand up there before a minister and you're speaking those vows, man, don't just mouth them. They've got to be real. Now, there's outs. I'm not saying when there's justification for getting away. I mean, if you're getting abused, don't stay in there. Get away. But there's something about not just mouthing loyalty, man, but letting it be a character in your life. What about people that stop being best friends with someone because they have nothing to offer anymore? You know, actually, I mean, and I got to be honest with you, and I'll just speak from my heart again. I don't have very many close friends. I don't let. You're gonna have to be really, really close to me for me to let you in. And there's for a reason. As a pastor, you know, Jamie is the closest one to me. You know, that's a friend to me. And if you're pretty close to me, that's because I trust you. I trust you. I can probably go through the crowd and see a few people that I feel like are very close. Because, you know, a true friend, I mean, that one that you trust. My wife has a few. I mean, they trust each other. You can say anything to them without feeling like they're going to get offended. They'll forgive you. If I've hurt anybody, please forgive me. Amen. Because don't hold on to that. I don't want to have that heart. But I want to have a true friend that I can trust. Well, I can trust my wife, and that's my friend. You see, but loyalty, man, is man, even if that friend disagrees with you and doesn't see you doing the right thing, why would you change friends? You see, there's something about not just mouthing loyalty, but having that as a character in your life. Because again, God will never leave you or forsake you. He's constantly loyal to you. But see, what God's trying to do this morning is get you to have that loyalty to Him, which then becomes a character in your life. Here's the second thing that about just not mouthing loyalty, but people who claim to even be Christians become unbelievers because their circumstances changed. I don't know how many times that I saw people that were fired up for God one minute and then in the world system the next. And I'm sure all of us can testify to someone that we know that, man, gave their life to Jesus and they were fired up one minute and then gone the next. Well, see, they didn't ever learn the basics. And I'm talking... You know, there's a time when you got to stop just sipping on the milk. And we got to get the meat. Jesus is about to return, church. And we don't have time to be offended, and we don't have time to church hop, and we don't have time to be planted somewhere then uproot, you see. Here's something else about loyalty. Number two, never be about self. You hear me? Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was this old gal came to Jesus and began to put perfume on him. Remember that story? And one of the disciples said, "How dare you? That's expensive. Don't you be wasting money." And what did Jesus say? "Leave her alone." He declared that I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And that's what this woman is doing. She's serving, you see. It's really, really dangerous when you start thinking about self. Because again, any time that I've been hurt in my life, when I minister to others is when I got ministry. Listen. Respect others and show the love of Christ. When we just start showing others about the love of Christ, it's never about self. We're not to act like the world that only shows loyalty when it benefits them. We are to put others before ourselves. Would you agree with that? Because I'm telling you, you'll be blessed when you're thinking about someone else other than just self. You know, what can I? What's that song? "It's All About Me." That country song? Me. Here's the third thing, and then I'll close. True loyalty never ends. In other words, Jesus paid our debt in full. Say amen to that. He's worthy of all praise. Our love and appreciation for what he's done for us on the cross drives our loyalty to him. There's something about being loyal to Jesus. And that's the good thing because, man, when you're praying to God about changing your life, man, make sure it's based on your loyalty to Jesus, not about self. But man, that loyalty that Jesus has for us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He called us the head and not the tail. He called us above and not beneath. He calls us to be able to declare his word like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gave us that ability to use his name. Speak to that mountain. Command it to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. Remember, just believe those things that you're going to confess. That they're going to come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. In other words, we don't need to give up. And I'm here to tell you, thank God for the loyalty of people in this church. I'm so thankful. I told the whole band just a little bit ago, I'm so thankful for their loyalty. I'm so honored that God sent Ricky and Laurie to our church, and he sent Jane and Daryl. I'm so honored that I don't have to worry about the what goes on in the band. I know it's going to be tended to. I'm so honored that God sent Howdy and Angela. Angela that you never see because she's always loyal to deal with those children. I'm so honored that Howdy just stands up here. And yeah, man, he hadn't been preaching all that long, y'all. How long, Howdy, have you been really preaching and getting behind this podium? Has it been, how long? 10 years? How many, what? 10? As long as you've been here, pretty much. But that's not very long to be ministering the Word of God. Man, I've been ministering over 20 years, this Word. And so, man, thank God for his loyalty. Man, I've never had a crossword with him ever in all these years. Almost 12 years of him being at this church, I've never had a crossword. Thank you. Man, I appreciate you. Never have I've had a crossword with the people that I call family. Oh, we may disagree. I'm not saying that, but I mean, I don't know if we've ever have. They may have disagreed with me, but I don't know about it. Most of the time, people keep their tongue, you know, mouth shut. But if it's major, they, you know, tell me. I don't care. If I need to apologize, I will. There's something about loyalty. Jesus paid our debt in full. So I want you to know that if you're loyal, that's a basic thing in the kingdom of God. It'll help you in every area of your life. You'll be able to trust God for your finances. You won't call anything other than God your provider. Oh man, you ought to go out in the ministry with us. Well, you better have faith. I mean, because it's expensive out there. And if you're relying on that offering, ooh, you're in trouble. Especially going to a college rodeo. Now, what did they declare to college kids? Well, they're all broke. So if you're trying to, you know, get your bills paid and your gas money for, you know, the rodeos with college kids, negatory ghost rider. No, you better trust God. You better understand the call is irrevocable and God will take care of you. Amen. You see, I want to leave you with just some things about loyalty. Loyalty is not word. It's a lifestyle. The second thing I want to leave you with is there's something wrong with character if opportunity controls your loyalty. In other words, if I was asked to minister at a place that only had 5 people show up, and I knew that was going to happen, there's not going to be very many people, and the day before I go and minister, I get a call to go and minister at a coliseum full of 1,000 people, my character is my word. And I'm going to go to where those 5 are because that's my word. That's loyalty to what God has called me to do. Just not a better opportunity. Man, no, I want to be loyal to my God because God is loyal to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, Father, if there's one person here that doesn't know you, I ask you to begin to draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' name. Father, if there's hurting people here, we just open up this altar right now, and I ask you to begin to minister to them, set them free. But real fast, let's deal with salvation. Are you born again? Is Jesus your Lord? If you died, do you know what would happen to you? Your spirit's going somewhere. The Bible says either heaven or hell. Of course, Jesus died so that you can go to heaven, not hell. Heaven. But there's only one way to get to heaven, according to John chapter 14. And it's through Jesus. So the question this morning, is Jesus your Lord? If he's not, I want you to make him the Lord of your life right now by praying this prayer. Are you ready? If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, just pray this prayer with me. And all the believers, would you pray it as well? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come into my life and save me. Be my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've been raised from the dead. All my sins are forgiven because of you. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died, but now, because Jesus is your Lord and you prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, you're going to bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. If you just gave your life to Jesus this morning for the first time, that's the only way you could do it. You can't do it over and over and over and over. Nope. You got to have trust and faith in your salvation. If Jesus just became your Lord, when I count to 3, I want you to raise your hand. Just declare it to the Lord. Say, Father, I meant that prayer and I prayed it. I ask you to come into my life. And then just put your hand right back down. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to ask you to be bold enough to not be ashamed that you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus. So at three, get your hand up and say, God, thank you for saving me. And then just put your hand back down. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Okay, that's what I thought. No one's hand was raised. That means, look at me, everybody is born again in here. Okay? That's why God gave a message like this to this group, because we need it. I need it. Anytime I preach, I'm preaching to me. I search and over and over and over about direction, about things going on in this church. And, you know, I want to do it right. Amen? Real fast, if you have anything that you want to pray about, doesn't matter what it is, just give me some music, sound man. I want to open up this altar real fast. Because the thing about it is it's only 11:48, so officially we have 12 minutes left, okay? But honestly, I want to be able to minister. I want to open up this altar. If you need to pray about anything, I want you to come down and just let us pray with you right now. Is there anybody? Just come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. If I can get just minister team, Ricky, Howdy, John, anybody, ladies, you're going to pray about anything. Doesn't matter with what it is. Howdy, if you just begin to pray with these. Come on, look at this. My gosh. Hey, Ricky, I want you right here. Just come in front. John, come on. Man, I knew it. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender all to thee. I freely give. In your heart, sing that. I surrender all. Sing it with me, church. Ready? I surrender all. Thank you, Lord. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it. Will I surrender all? I surrender all. Everything, sir. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Well, God's good. Amen. Did you have a good time this morning? Love you, Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet? Do we have any announcements, Howdy? Where are you?